now he's in jail, and now his third administrative activity. Well, sometimes you've got to make the best of what you're doing, you know, and even in bad situations, there are administrative possibilities. And so he had his career change here. Now he's in prison administration. And we can read a little bit about this in, let's see, going to chapter 39, verse 21. He's now in prison, and it says that the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. We can always be praying for favor of those who are over us. 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Wow, he just suddenly become like prison warden. Only he was still a prisoner himself. And 23, and the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hands, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So here's another successful prison administration, or another successful administration by Joseph. But can you imagine his resume? How would he put together that? Let's see, I was keeper of sheep, but that didn't work out so well. Okay, then I became Potiphar. You know, things were working pretty well in Potiphar's household, but, well, that didn't work out so well together. But, hey, I'm chief prison administrator. Oh, boy. That's a great claim to fame, isn't it? That will really get you the prime job and stuff. You know, the Lord has interesting ways. And the things that happen in our lives can somehow string together in the most unusual paths. And as you know, that was the case with Joseph. And things worked out. He waited out the time, even though he had appealed to, what was it, the baker and the wine server. And for years, he was just forgotten. But he continued faithfully. And, you know, I think that's our charge as administrators, is we're going to be faithful to God first. Not just the people we serve with, but have that faithfulness with God. Finally, we can read in Genesis 41, 33 to 40, in those verses that, you know, Pharaoh has this dream. Nobody can interpret it. They finally think, oh, Joseph, he can do it. And they bring up Joseph. He interprets the dream, and then he says something very interesting to Pharaoh. He gives Pharaoh advice. Notice the advice he gives to Pharaoh is not about he himself, but he dispenses wise advice, not to his benefit, but to the benefit of Pharaoh. And this is the advice he gives. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in seven plentiful years. And he goes on to talk about this food reserve and everything. Verse 37, so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? And he so showed his wisdom at that moment to Pharaoh, Pharaoh thought, I don't have anybody like this in my kingdom. His resume was good enough because he had the right words at the right time. And so Pharaoh made him second over the nation of Israel in that time. And again, it all prospered for Joseph. Now, notice he's now got a far greater responsibility than he ever had before. His first administration, a few sheep, trying to get along with brothers. His second administration, pretty large Egyptian household. Servants, probably cattle, probably ordering the groceries, probably all sorts of things. Then he had his jail ministry period. And then he went on to finally the whole nation of Egypt there and things. You know, God didn't put him in charge of the nation of Israel at the age of 17, but now he was 30 years old, a little more mature, a little more understanding, and so he was ready for that. Let's end our study of Joseph with showing some real wise administration. Remember, one of the problems he had early on in his administration was he didn't think of consequences. He acted according to what was on his heart. He just did it, not thinking of how it would impact other people. Well, by this time, when we're reading in chapter 46, we start seeing that now he thinks of consequences. Just like with the dream, just like with planning, with looking ahead, thinking, this is what we need, these are the steps we need to do, this was all with his plan for Pharaoh. Now he's thinking about his family, his father, and all of them coming in. And we read in chapter 46, verse 31, where he meets with his brothers and everything, and Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those in my father's house who are in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. So it shall be when the Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? You'll say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even till now, both we and our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Okay, and then it says in 47, Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father, my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all they have possessed, they come from Canaan, indeed from the, and indeed they're in the land of Goshen. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh again goes on with this dialogue. So let me explain what's happening here. Is Joseph was thinking, okay, where is the best place for my family to reside in this entire kingdom? And so he's thinking through, I think it's Goshen. There's great land there. It's a great place for their crops. They're far enough removed from the central core of the Egyptian population to not be bothered, to not be harassed, because they are foreigners. He might have been thinking about intermarrying and things, about, you know, keeping the Israelites more holy or something like that. You know, he may have been thinking of all of those things. So you see, he's planning ahead. So he's thinking, okay, I want them to be in Goshen. This is the administrator working here. How do I get approval to do this? Well, first he coaches his brothers and all his relatives what to say, how to act, how to behave. He directs them, you go to the land of Goshen right now and you stay there. So he was counseling them. He had all this insight with being the administrator of the land. I want you to go there. I want you to stay there. I want you to act this way. I want you to do this. And then he hand selects five of his brothers who he thinks are going to make the best impression on the Pharaoh. So he's already staging. See, he's staging the whole drama with Pharaoh. And because he's got a personal relationship with Pharaoh, he knows how Pharaoh is likely to act. And he thinks, oh, well, see, because the Egyptians don't like sheep or shepherds, and because that's sort of, you know, an occupation they don't like, then the Pharaoh is not going to insist that my family come live right there in the central palace and things like that. He'll actually agree to have them outside, and it will be beneficial to my family and everything. So see, he's thinking this through. And so he stages this whole thing, and it all goes according to plan. He's planned it out well as an administrator. And so it's all in place, and all of this works, having God's blessing. See, that's really part of administration that I hadn't thought, and I discovered that you need to be thinking ahead. You need to be thinking of consequences. You need to be thinking of relationships with people. You need to be thinking of ways in which you can inspire people to come together to the goals you want to see created, the goals you want to come together. You want to think what's beneficial for everyone, how to make that work, instead of just thinking, oh, I have this idea, I'm just going to do it. And Joseph learned that. He learned being from a bad administrator and those terrible experiences he had as a 17-year-old to now being a fine administrator and things. See, these, you know, now that I've been an administrator, I think in a lot of ways these things I've just shared with you are more important than computer programming, are more important than what I do about organization, are more important about these. I mean, these are skills that, yeah, they're important to the job, but I could shipwreck my administration by missing these principles, dealing with people, thinking ahead, planning, all of those sort of things, the moral consequences of my actions. You see, as a chairperson of a department of music, I'm now looked upon as being a representative of this group. And so the way I behave in public, the way I am at the grocery store, the way I am, you know, out this and that, and the way I am reflects now upon my institution. You may not have thought of that, but when you no longer have, you know, when you move into administration, in a way, the higher up you move into administration, the less freedom you have, in a way, over your own life, the less choices. Because when I was just a faculty member, all the only consequences I had were just pretty much reflected on me. You know, you could, if I was mad at that person, well, I could just tell them off, you know. But as an administrator, if I had, you know, say the same words I might say as a faculty member or get mad or upset or things, there's more consequences than as me as just a faculty member to faculty member. There's now consequences with me as an administrator with a faculty member, and then the faculty member going to other faculty members, and, you know, you can't believe the consequences that go with that. Those are things I didn't understand going into administration. And it's fascinating. Administration is a process of self-discovery. And that's how I want to sum up this second section is, you will learn more about yourself, your strengths and your failings by being an administrator than not. And why will you learn more about it? Because people will tell you. They will be very quick to tell you your faults. And you will. It will be like, you know, at home you have one mirror. Maybe it's in your bathroom. Being an administrator in your office, there's 20 or 30 mirrors that people bring in and they hold up to you. And you see that, and you did this and this. That's the life of an administrator. And I'll tell you, it is fascinating. It's wonderful. I have learned so much about myself. I have grown in ways I would have never grown. And I hope every one of you here has that opportunity to be an administrator, to grow. Because I just think that self-discovery and self-growth make it in many ways worth everything.